Now, I'm going to let it speak for itself because I'm doing a great deal of talking right here and haven't read anything yet. Verse 2 and 3, I'm reading them. I hope you have your authorized version because I'm reading now my miserable translation. And I ought not to call it a translation. I merely just attempted to translate the words out of the original. Will you listen to it? And I saw another angel ascending from the sun rising, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels to whom it had been given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we shall have sealed the servants, or the bond slaves of our God in their foreheads." All right. Now, another angel here means there's a fifth angel. And he apparently is of a higher rank than the other four because he gives them orders. And as we saw in the book of Daniel, and we saw it also in the epistle to the Ephesians, that there are gradation of orders of angels, both good and bad. That Satan has the demon world well organized. He has generals and he has lieutenant colonels and majors, and he has a lieutenant, and then a sergeant, and then a great many privates. And so we have on the other side, God has his arranged. So this angel gives orders to the other four. Now, it says here he did it with a great voice. And in the Greek, that is phone megale. Now, if you turn phone megale around, you have megaphone. That's where we get our word megaphone. Mega means great, phony noise or voice. And here it's an indication that it's with frightful and fearful judgment that is getting ready to break upon the earth. And it's therefore necessary to secure the servants of God. If he doesn't seal them, they're not going to make it through. Now, they are to be preserved in this day of wrath that's coming on the earth. And the Lord Jesus himself mentioned this. He says in Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened, for the sake of these that have been sealed." Now, this is a terrible time. Now, what is the mark that was put on their forehead? Now, here is a place where I must confess, and I sure hope you won't let this get out. We want to keep this just to ourselves, because there's some people think I know what that mark is. I don't know what it is. I can only make suggestions here. Now, I recognize there are many that know what that mark is. But the interesting thing is that you can't get any two to agree what it is. So some of them must be wrong. I've come to the conclusion they're all wrong on that. And why? Because we're not told what it is. I don't think it's important for the church today to even know what the mark is. We're just told that they're going to be marked. Now, what kind of a mark? I don't know. Now, we are told that there are those that will not be able to trade during this period when Antichrist comes into power unless they have the mark of the beast. This mark is in contrast to it. But my feeling is that this is a spiritual mark that will be in the lives of those. By their fruits ye shall know them, by their lives. And I believe that's going to be the mark of God's own in this period, because the godless are really going to be godless in this period. And I personally don't see how they can be any more godless than the godless are in Los Angeles today, or as the world is getting today. But the Word of God says they can go lots farther than they've gone even in our day. Now, God is going to save a remnant of Israel. Now, we had given first in this chapter, and let me show you how simple even a chapter like this is divided. I have in my book here three divisions of this chapter. you have the reason for the interlude between the sixth and seventh seals. Why? To seal these, to make sure that they're going to make it through. And the Lord Jesus made it very clear that they're going to make it through, that they are going to come through. We begin now here at verse 4, the remnant of Israel sealed. And then in verses 9 through 17, a redeemed multitude of Gentiles. This is the three R's of Revelation. Not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but the reason for the interlude, the remnant of Israel and the redeemed multitude of Gentiles. Now look at the remnant of Israel. When God deals with Israel, I've always noticed He'll deal with dates and He'll deal with numbers. When He's dealing with the church, He never deals with dates or numbers. And that's the reason that we never announce on this program that we had so many saved in a certain year. Now, I had one of the young ladies that runs our robotype machine. She brought me in a clipping, and I have it here somewhere, that we had, at that time, 15 letters from folk that said they had been saved through the program. And I, at that time, thought, my, this will be a good time for us to start putting down numbers and handing out figures. Well, I began to think that after the day of Pentecost, you never had any numbers given. Paul never turned in a report to anybody how many were saved. And we're told when we get even to this great company of Gentiles, the number's not given. But when you deal with Israel, God deals with numbers and He deals with dates when He's dealing with them, but not with the church. And that's the reason today I think that this matter of date setting has hurt the study of prophecy and brought it down to a low level, whereas this subject ought to be kept on as high a level as any other subject of prophecy.